I'm Glenn Moberg. If you're a conservationist or an outdoorsman, you'll want to tune into Route 51 this Thursday as we feature Gerard Fear, naturalist, photographer, and president of Wild Journey Films of Auburndale, Thursday at 5 on the Ideas Network.
Gerard has captured some amazing images in still photography and most recently on videotape. Imagine getting pictures of a mother bear hibernating, nursing her cubs, of northern harriers or marsh hawks feeding each other in mid-flight. He does some amazing things, gets them all on tape, and he'll share some of his tips with you and some of his experiences out in the wild. A lot of it shot at the Mead Wildlife Area. We've got the project supervisor, Tom Meyer, with us, who can give us some of the naturalist background of what Gerard has experienced. All we're missing is you. Give us a call. Route 51 is next after this news. Fasten your seatbelt, turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Welcome to Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, our travels take us to wild places all across America and to a familiar patch of wilderness right in our own backyard in North Central Wisconsin. That spot is the Mead Wildlife Area on the banks of the Little Eau Plaine River, southwest of Mosinee, near Milledore. And our guest today has spent many, many hours exploring that land and capturing its birds and animals on videotape and in still photos. Gerard Fear is a naturalist, video producer, photographer, and also the president of Wild Journey Films of Auburndale. And today he'll share some of his experiences, some of the things he's captured on film and video, tell us how he did it, and in the process reveal the richness of our own wild heritage at the Mead and in and around North Central Wisconsin. Joining Gerard Fear for the next hour, Tom Meyer of the Wisconsin DNR. He is the project supervisor for the Mead Wildlife Area. And hopefully you will be joining us too. If you've got questions or comments about the birds, critters, and wild visitors in your backyard or in our woods, give us a call. If you're a photographer or a videographer and you'd like to know how to capture stunning images of wildlife up close, give us a call. And if you'd like to share your appreciation of the Mead Wildlife Area and other wild spots around our state and around the Midwest, please give us a call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371 or toll free at 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742. Gerard, thanks for being with us. Tom, thanks for being with us for the next hour. You guys know each other, so I think we'll have a great conversation. And I'd like to start out with Gerard and ask you where you gained your appreciation for the wildlife and particularly the marshland, prairie, and woodland habitats in central Wisconsin.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for having me here. But I think it was just for me. I believe I was born with it. I grew up on a little farm in central Wisconsin, and whenever my dad was looking for us, I mean that, and my other three brothers, we were usually out in the woods or out in one of the open fields. And my appreciation, I think, just stemmed from that and grew. And I always had that in me. Of course, in my teenage years, I got kind of quiet, as it probably does in most people. Mm-hmm. But it came back real strong in my early 20s. And I started, I was an avid hunter for several years, and I ended up giving it up and just for the chance to take the camera with me.
What inspired you to try to capture all of this on film?
Well, I think because I really truly appreciate nature and all the living critters that associate with it, I've been inspired to try and tell some type of a story about it. Watching programs in my earlier years on TV led me to believe that today we're missing. There's a niche missing. Worldwide exposure to wildlife is prominent, but not on a regional level anymore.
You're saying that you can tune into the Discovery Channel, for instance, and see all kinds of video documentaries of Africa and South America and exotic places, but a lot of the wildlife that that exists right here in north central Wisconsin isn't captured.
Absolutely. And even Tom's educators that work under him say they cannot find nice material on North American wildlife covered in video. And being that it's now coming out of Wisconsin, it's kind of a unique, interesting thing.
Tom, do you use Gerard's videos at the Mead Wildlife Area in order to help educate kids and adults about some of the animals and the birds that are right there in your own backyard?
Glenn, we've been using Gerard's material, his still pictures, his videos, ever since the day the guy walked in the door. We see his tremendous talent and his dedication to the resource, and it has helped us immensely in brochures, teaching, just in classes. It's provided us a great way of bringing wildlife closer to kids and adults.
One of the images that he captured is an image of a mother bear that he caught in hibernation, and it's on one of his videos called, let me make sure that I get this right, is it Secrets of the Winter Swamp?
Secrets of a Winter Swamp, yes.
Let's listen, and you got to use your imagination because this isn't television, it's radio, but here's the introduction to that video by Gerard Fear of Wild Journey Films.
Day after day, the land is fed a steady diet of cold, numbing air. The ground is frozen and buried under snow and ice. There are only traces of food here, yet there is life. The harsh winter days will be overwhelming for some, and they will die. But their misfortune will be the window to life for others. One animal will take on the long winter in its own remarkable way, and it will do so without an ounce of food or a drop of water. But that's only part of this incredible story. In the dead of winter, new life will grace the land. Yet no one will know it. This is one of the astonishing secrets of a winter swamp.
Now, Gerard, obviously, you not only shoot your own stuff, you narrate and write your own stuff as well.
Yes, I do. I pretty much do the whole thing. And getting back to the bear, that is probably the project that got me into the video the heaviest. I had, for a few years, I had been contemplating photography as a continuation. Should I keep it up? What should I do? How should I change with it? And then when I was strolling across the swamp one winter, headed towards a bald eagle's nest, I came across this bear den.
And that was at the Mead Wildlife Area.
That was at the Mead Wildlife Area. And that day prompted me to purchase a video camera. And so then I did both video and stills on the bear because it was in a unique situation. It was in a ground nest. Unusual for a bear. Normally males and such will plop on top of the ground and sleep sometimes, but this was an open nest, exposed to the elements, and you could see right into it.
And you were able to get shots of this mother bear with her little cubs, which were, probably just a day or two old at the
time? When I started filming them, they were probably almost a month old already.
Okay.
Because she hadn't shown them for quite some time. I discovered them a little bit after Christmas. Actually, my daughter realized and heard the young ones squeaking in there. And so when she told me, well, then I became real interested in what was going on there. And so I went in several days and I to watch what she was doing, and I never saw any of the young ones until probably a month later.
And Gerard, how did you capture those images? You've got close-up shots of this mother bear nursing her young cubs.
Yes.
Hibernation.
Yes. She's a very dedicated mother, for one thing. I usually watch for those types of things when the young are involved. The more aggressive, dedicated adults definitely make better subjects for filming. She was I never want to say that she wasn't afraid of me, because I could hear her grinding her teeth sometime and clanking her teeth. But
How did you get those shots?
I ended up, after some time, I ended up carrying my 10-foot stepladder in there because there were no nearby trees. It was mostly alder. And I ended up setting it up nearby, and I climbed up, and that's where I pretty much stayed for most of the day.
And do you know how jealous I was, Glenn? Here I am, a wildlife biologist. We're managing these populations, and Gerard has been able to get into the spot at the time and see the things that we all dream of. We don't get that close to wildlife. We're managing the populations. We're managing in an area. But to have that opportunity to be so close and to see the lives of the animals that you're trying to help, had to be just tremendous for him.
And Gerard, just because of his own love of wildlife and nature, just in his desire to capture these films, these images on film, he's become one of your best publicists for the Mead, hasn't he?
Oh, he has. His work has brought a lot of people into an awareness level that they didn't have before, on what is at the Mead, the availability of wildlife, the things that you can see there, and just what it does for your general health and mind to experience Mother Nature and wildlife.
And Tom brings up a good point there. And I know I took some of Tom's co-workers out. I can't remember if I took Tom or not to see the bear den. But
no, you didn't.
I didn't. He was probably doing paperwork. But there is a lot of diversity within the Mead that most people don't know about. When I show my videos, they go, well, how do you ever see that? I never see any of that. Well, the Mead is great because, first of all, because it holds so much wildlife, so much diversity, but it doesn't show itself especially. And so you do have to look for it, but it's there.
Gerard Fear, he is the owner of Wild Journey Films of Auburndale. You can check out his work at wildjourneyfilms.com. Also, Tom Meyer of the George W. Mead Wildlife Area. And you can learn more about the Mead at meadwildlife.org. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. The three of us work together on a video documentary on the Mead Wildlife Area. We're going to play some of that for you when we come back, and we want you to join us. If you appreciate the Mead Wildlife Area, if you appreciate the wildlife and what we have as our heritage here in North Central Wisconsin, give us all a vote of confidence. Give us a call at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
There will be a panel discussion on the stewardship of eaters and providers, how sustainable agriculture builds community, at UW Marathon County on Thursday, February 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. Information at 261-6234.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
Our forecast for North Central Wisconsin: cloudy with a chance of light snow or flurries after midnight, a low of 22. Friday, continued cloudy, scattered flurries throughout the day, a high of 30, a low of 12. Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 22, a low of 10 above. Looks like a good weekend for the Badger State Games in the Wausau area. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 26, a low of 12 above. And on Monday, mostly cloudy, a high of 22. Right now, we've got cloudy skies across north central Wisconsin, 28 in Antigo, Tomahawk, and Medford, 29 in Woodruff, Rhinelander, and Eagle River, 31 in Wisconsin Rapids and Land O'Lakes, 30 in Phillips, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Merrill, Mosinee, and Wausau. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about wildlife images captured by Gerard Fear of Wild Journey Films of Auburndale and the wonderful wildlife heritage at the Mead Wildlife Area in central Wisconsin. Tom Meyer of the Mead is with us. And as I was saying, gentlemen, the three of us worked together on a documentary. Tom, you were instrumental in it. Gerard, you helped put it together. And Wisconsin Public Radio, we provided the narration. Let's play a little clip from a documentary called A Journey to the Mead. The Mead Wildlife Area is rich in Native American history. Artifacts dating back some 10,000 years revealed the presence of Paleo Indians, nomadic big game hunters that pursued mammoths, mastodons, caribou, elk, and other big game. The more recent woodland Indians had summer camps on Smoky Hill.
In it, Sakanani Statukokowak, Nikesnawawak, Akumakakok, Pamatinatua, Sawano Enika. What I said there was, it is almost the fall season. I did see some geese flying in a southerly direction. And that would have been important for the tribes here. We called ourselves the Mamachitawak, movers full of life, who moved with the seasons.
Hello, my name is Tom Meyer. I am the project supervisor for the George W. Mead Wildlife Area. Mead is, bar none, one of the most diverse wildlife properties we have in Wisconsin. It's that way because of the habitat mix, but also it occurs in an area that we call the tension zone. And it is an area about 50 miles wide where we see the vegetation and the climate changing from the southern clime to the northern clime in northern Wisconsin. So it's right here within that tension zone that we see a tremendous mix of plant and animal species, adding to the tremendous diversity that this wildlife area has.
Whether we're bird watching, fishing, hiking, canoeing, biking, or having a picnic, the open expanse and solitude of the Mead Wildlife Area allows us to clear our minds and soak in the gifts that wild places offer.
That was a lot of fun putting that together. We're sitting here identifying the birds that you just heard. We heard a meadowlark, a mourning dove, a red-winged blackbird, and who knows what else was on there.
There was a common loon.
Crow.
Yeah. And we did. We had a wonderful time putting it together. And the work, as it's finalized, is far beyond what we ever thought it would be. It was funded by the Friends of Mead McMillan Association, which is a support group for the wildlife area, and they even did not comprehend what Girard could do. And what it does is it just brings such a tremendous perspective to that property and that land over time, because we go way back into the pre-settlement, the Native Americans, and bring it up to date. And it has been an extremely popular item for the public to purchase and watch and find out what's really there.
If people want to purchase it, Tom, how can they do that?
They can either contact us at the Mead and purchase them right through us, or they can go to Girard's website, if I'm correct, Girard, and get them through you as well.
Well, no, I do not sell them on my website. I am going to be advertising them as on for sale at the Mead. But I don't have them for sale on my site.
Okay. Can they order it through the meadwildlife.org? Is it on there? Well, you can get
They can get the information. They can see the trailers, everything on the website
okay,
as well.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Cool.
Yep.
And the proceeds to that go to help the wildlife projects that are going on at the Mead Wildlife Area.
Absolutely. They go to our education fund, and that has been a tremendous assistance as well, because we are expanding our educational efforts at Mead, and the video is used even when we have classes come to the property. They watch that video first as an introduction as to what the property is about and what they're potentially going to see.
Now, Tom, you mentioned something called the tension zone, and I found that really interesting because it's obvious. There's an area in Wisconsin right in the middle of the state where things change from that southern woodland habitat into the North Woods, and that strip goes right through the Mead Wildlife Area. How significant is that in terms of the amount of wildlife that you attract?
It's tremendously significant. It is an area, as I said in the video, about 50 miles wide, and it's where you see the southern clime turn into the northern clime. And because of that, we've got species that are common to southern Wisconsin and species that are common to northern Wisconsin, both animal and plant. And because of that, you get this tremendous diversity of wildlife. And it is the area of the state where you're going to have the greatest chance of seeing the greatest number of birds, the greatest number of mammals, and the better likelihood of seeing them.
Gerard, how long did you work on the images? I guess you've been working on the images for years. You had a lot of that in stock already, but just
the video images?
Yeah.
Yes. Since 2005, I've been accumulating. When I started, I basically packed my gear for about 3 years and accumulated a whole mess of critters. Probably in that time, I probably shot about 150 species of birds and almost 40 species of mammals. And then started putting the programs together. But, you know, getting back to what Tom said about the diversity in the meat, that's why I'm still there. As great as these guys are, a big reason I come back is for the wildlife. And I've told myself several years ago that I should be looking elsewhere, moving on. But it's like it always seems I find something new to film or photograph at the meat. So
that whole area was made possible by George W. Meade and by the people behind you know, the paper mills in Wisconsin Rapids. Tom, tell us a little bit of that story.
Well, basically, Glenn, the original land for Meade Wildlife Area came from a gift from Consolidated Papers in memory of the original George W. Meade. And it was given to us by his son, Stanton. And that was back in 1959 and a gift of 20,000 acres. And that really started Meade Wildlife Area. It wouldn't be there today without that generous gift. And we've added 13,000 acres to it, so we're up to 33,000 acres at the present time. We're the third largest wildlife area in the state, and we are the largest contiguous ownership of state wildlife property in the state.
And it's been through, the property's been through a lot of changes, as we documented in that film. The Paleo-Indians, the more recent Indians, then we had the lumber era where a lot of the timber was cleared. And then during the 30s, I guess if we wanted to be cynical, we could call it the first Great Depression. There was an attempt to drain the land and farm it.
Oh, a tremendous effort. I don't know how they ever did it, but they straightened over 13 miles of the Little Eau Plaine River. They cleared bottomland forest. They ditched everything and tried to get the land to get rid of the water faster and tried to farm it. It was primarily muck farming, vegetable farming, but a tremendous effort that changed the valley of Little Eau Plaine, where Meade is, for perpetuity.
And a lot of that property ended up being acquired from owners who couldn't pay the taxes in the
Absolutely.
Middle of the Depression.
The effort did not last long. Early frosts at Meade, you can get a frost almost every month of the year. So the vegetable crops did not make it many years. If they didn't get frostbitten, they were flooded out. So the industry lasted a very short time, but the damage had been done. The change to everything had been done. And after that, there were years in the late 30s and 40s where the land just tried to reclaim itself. And organizations such as the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and even our current landowners saw the value for wildlife, and that's why it's that today.
And there were efforts to restore the wetland habitat. That was something that took place in the 50s. And lo and behold, we have a real ecological gem right in our own backyard.
It's a gem on the landscape. There's no doubt about it.
Tom Meyer of the DNR and also of the Meade Wildlife Area, and Gerard Fear, who has captured some incredible wildlife images there and elsewhere. Wild Journey Films of Auburndale, 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back with much more after this news.
Profit Economic Development Enterprise and a partner in something special from Wisconsin, featuring a variety of Wisconsin-based products, including Sassy Cow, Sugar River, and Cedar Grove dairy products. Info at somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com.
We're back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg, and our subject today, the wildlife heritage of central Wisconsin as captured on video by Gerard Fear of Wild Journey Films of Auburndale. Much of it at the Meade Wildlife Area in central Wisconsin. We've also got Tom Meyer, the project supervisor for the Meade. And if you would like to find out if you've got any questions about the critters or the birds that are frequenting your backyard, or you'd like to know how to capture those images, either in still photography or on video, give us a call, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We've got the gentleman here who can answer those questions. If you'd also like to talk about your favorite natural areas in north central Wisconsin, or talk about experiences you've had at the Mead, whether or not you appreciate the work that's gone on there and the great wildlife area that's been set aside for future generations, we'd like to hear from you too. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. We were talking during the break about the Prairie Chicken Festival, which is something that happens every spring. The Mead is part of that, and the nearby Buena Vista grasslands. And this spring is no exception. It's coming up in just a couple of months, really, in April.
Yep, I think if I'm right, Glenn, the date is April 19th, and it is a good celebration, bringing awareness to a species that is threatened in Wisconsin, has a tremendous heritage in our prairie grassland areas, and it is the keystone species for prairie and grassland species that are in big trouble, not only in Wisconsin, but internationally.
Now, we've done stories here at Wisconsin Public Radio about the effort to improve the genetic diversity of the flock, because they're isolated. The habitats are isolated for these animals. They've captured prairie chickens in Minnesota and shipped them over here. The Nature Conservancy has been a part of that work. I think the last birds were just introduced this past summer.
They were brought in late summer, and it is an effort to boost the genetic makeup of the flock that we have, because, like you said, they are tremendously isolated from the main flocks in this country. And to continue to be viable, it was determined that we had to bring in some birds to keep the genetic diversity there.
Gerard, have you thought about doing a video on prairie chickens?
Well, possibly someday. I have a lot of footage of them. I like to catch them in their natural habitats. And I do actually have several pieces in my videos. I can't remember if I have any in all of them, but I do get cover them to an extent in a couple of videos. But no, it'd be a worthwhile subject, but there's an awful lot of them out there that are worthwhile, so...
I had the opportunity, and you have to sign up for this in advance. So you need to call the folks at the Golden Sands
Correct.
Conservation Organization
Yep.
to do this. But if you have an opportunity to get into those blinds, you have to wake up at 3 a.m. and go out there in the dead of night, and you'll sit out in a blind in the middle of the prairie, and the chickens come just as the dawn is breaking over the frost-covered grasslands, and it's an experience that you will remember for the rest of your life. Those birds come and they do their dances within just a few feet of the blinds. I took my son out a few years ago when he was 11 years old, and you know, that's a memory that's going to stick with him for the rest of his life.
Oh, absolutely. My kids used to go out with me, Glenn, when they were younger. And we'd sit in that cold blind, and we'd be in there in the dark, and all of a sudden you'd hear the chickens start to boom. And you can hear them stamping on the ground. You can hear their air sacs fill up, and they have this sound that goes, boo-boo, and it's awesome. And what they do is, I even had one that was booming on top of the blind, and I could put my hand against the tarp, and I could feel their feet on the palm of my hand. So it is. And it's
to give you an
experience.
Idea of how close they get to you,
right.
It's something else.
And that time of the year, it's just fantastic to be out there that early in the morning. That is, to me, the best time of the season.
261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. We have Megan in Mosinee. Megan, you're on Route 51.
Hi. I am actually Tom Meyer's daughter.
Whoa!
Oh, no.
Hey, Dad. I just wanted to tell my dad how proud I am of his dedication and success he has had throughout the past and present of the Mead Wildlife Area. I have so much respect for what he does, and I know he puts so much time in. And as his daughter, I just see him and how much respect other people have as well, because I know everybody is, a lot of people that I know can say exactly what I'm saying right now.
Megan, thanks so much for the phone call. This is just wonderful.
No problem.
And Megan, you're obviously proud of your dad, but I think your dad is also obviously proud of you.
Thank you. And I am very proud of my dad, very much so.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to talk to Tom Meyer of the DNR about the Mead Wildlife Area, or Gerard Fear of Wild Journey Films of Auburndale, who has captured some of these beautiful images at the Mead and elsewhere. One of the images that you captured is, in fact, you have an entire video dedicated to the Northern Harrier, also known as the Marsh Hawk. Let's listen to a portion of that video by Gerard Fear.
The sedge meadow is saturated and spongy. The soil is comprised of decomposed plants, often referred to as muck. Yet, this is a beautiful place and very inviting to a select group of animals. Winged hunters cruise overhead, while other predators wait for the darkness. The meadow's blend of dense cover and open space is just what this northern harrier is looking for. It will eventually build a nest here and defend it from intruders. The male harrier will hunt this landscape along with the surrounding upland. Food will be delivered regularly while the female tends to their young. The vast meadow is active with life as the male harrier keeps watch over the nest site. And the female is not always pleased with his presence. As the young grow, the harrier's workload increases. It is the adult's job to prepare the young for the upcoming migration and survival on their own.
That's a portion of a clip of the Northern Harrier living on the wing by Gerard Fear. Gerard, you captured shots of harriers feeding each other in the sky, a rare image to capture on film. You did it.
Yes, a food transfer where the female is usually in the nest with the young, and she watches, she scans the sky, and the male comes sailing in high, and she can always tell if he has anything or not. And so she's usually off the nest, but sometimes for the shots that I caught, he would surprise her by flying in low, and she would just notice him over the nest, where she would then bounce out of the nest, and he would transfer the food to her, just drop it to her, she would pick it out of the air. But yeah, these are images that you just seldom ever see, and this is what I think there's a niche for in this country, local wildlife.
Outdoor writer Jim Lee of the Wausau Daily Herald wrote a story about you, Gerard, and he described one scene in your film. This is a quote. Petruccio's wife in Taming of the Shrew never delivered a diatribe as shrill as the assault given a male harrier who dared to dawdle on a food-gathering assignment within sight of his mate.
Yes, that's quite a sentence there. But the fact of the matter is that is what I wanted to show, that the female is totally in charge, and the male comes in, and he is, after his work day out hunting on the wing, he wants to rest, and he wants to take a little credit around the nest, but that isn't allowed. And so she won't even start feeding her young until he leaves, and if he doesn't take the cue with her screams, then she chases him off physically.
I really felt sorry for the guy, Gerard.
I did, too. I mean, just sometimes you feel kind of close to it.
Yeah, you know, we do understand what he's going through.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. We have Gary in Iron County. Gary, you're on Route 51.
Yeah, good afternoon. The reason I'm calling was my grandfather's farm is part of the Mead Wildlife Area, the Muntz up on Highway C.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, there was no hunters in the family, and but I always kind of eventually ended up there when I had a driver's license. And the first place I always went to was the Mead, and that's where I learned to hunt.
Well, Gary,
I see a lot of the animals that the gentlemen are talking about, and every time I asked the question, I go up to the old metal building, that's all that was there on S at the time, and there was always somebody up there, and if I needed to know where a deer was hanging out or places to go to get a duck or something, those guys were always helping me out, and it's been an very important part of my life.
Well, Gary, I know your grandparents very well. They're wonderful people. They've been neighbors of ours for years and years. They were there long before we were. And they have as well that true appreciation for that country, its heritage, and what it's all about. And I'm really glad that you were able to grow up with them and experience what Mead had to offer and that area has to offer. That's really neat.
Yeah, it sure is.
And the Mead, you know, that whole area is managed for hunting for a variety of uses.
Oh, absolutely. We have hunting and non-hunting users as well. And it is a large enough area, like Gerard says, that where those things can all take place at the same time.
Gary, thanks so much for the phone call.
Just a little aside yet. Does the gentleman know Dale Rosicky by chance in Orvindale?
Rosicky?
Rosicky by Rosicky?
That doesn't sound familiar to me, no.
Okay. Well, he grew up in the town that you mentioned. Oh, there go my oatmeal cookies. I got to go.
Oh, save some for us.
Enjoy,
yeah. Yeah, save some for us, Gary.
I'd give you one if I was there.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
You're listening to Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We'll be back right after this. Join the North Lakeland Discovery Center in Manitouish Waters for a snowshoe hike on Saturday, February 6th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. to view waterfalls in northern Iron County. The trip is rated moderate to strenuous. More information at 543-2085. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. We're talking about the Mead Wildlife Area and the images captured there by Gerard Fear of Wild Journey Films of Auburndale, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. And Tom, Gerard's films, paradoxically enough, these images that he captured have helped you folks at the Mead get closer to the wildlife.
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. When I look at the video on the Harrier, you know, we see those birds every day, but we don't have that in-depth understanding and intuitive approach to their daily living. And it gave us that. We saw things that we've never seen before. And it also gives us a better idea in a lot of aspects with whatever species he's working with into what might be some of the habitat aspects that we maybe need to maybe look into a little bit more in depth, maybe provide something else that might be for that species that ensures their survival. And his work allows us to just get in depth into those species. I really truly think that he should get involved in doing something like this for all 267 bird species we have on the property. Gerard, could you do that?
I would surely like to give it a try, yes.
Well, how many years will that take you?
Probably more than I have, but it'll be fun doing it anyway. But no, I have to elude on that fact with Tom. He not only do I like helping them, but they help me a lot. And so we got a great, great working relationship. And so I just love the place. I know anybody that would come out there would love it. So we're inviting you.
Gerard, you did another film on the Northern Marsh at Home in the Shallows. And that was not only videotaped at the Mead, but also at the Sandhill Wildlife Area and Northwest Minnesota. What were you trying to accomplish with that film?
I was trying just to show the species, the great diversity of species we have in the northern U.S. was my goal. and the Mead being probably 80% of my work was taken at the Mead because if anybody has been out in those marshes with their canoes, in the spring through the summer, they're just tremendously diverse. I can spend, if somebody would pay me to work on these marsh programs entirely, that's what I would do because there's so much diversity and so much to show that you really scramble to put it all into one film.
Now, you captured some images by actually building blinds in the water and bringing all of your material in there by canoe. Tell us about that.
I build, I like to shoot everything from ground level. And, of course, if you're going to work in the marsh, you'll be prepared to stand in the water. So I probably have several blinds going at once that are stuck into the mud. And they all have little platforms on where I can stow all my gear and my food for the day. And The great thing about the marsh is the access. You can fill my canoe with equipment that I normally have to carry on my back. Now I can go in the canoe, row it out to the blind, set it up, go hide the canoe, and just walk back, and you're ready to go.
You spend months and months on these films.
I spend a lot of time mornings, nights, evenings, through the daytime. I spend hours and hours and hours, and I can't get enough of it, to be honest with you. And I have so much material yet to do more. I built a big video, what I call a big video, an hour and a half long on the marsh. That's a long time to watch a TV program, and it still didn't touch on what I have.
I think the one thing about Gerard's videos that is really impressive to me and is so important is the fact that people can view these now on meadwildlife.org. They can look at the trailers, and they can, if they want to, they can order them from us. And the thing is, they can get an idea of what that great wildlife area offers. And it can bring them closer to wildlife, bring their families closer to wildlife. And I know people who have done that and come out to the wildlife area to experience it firsthand. And it is a real first attempt to get people involved in local wildlife instead of Africa and these other places around the world where they have this stuff right in their backyard.
You, Gerard, also use a technique where you'll put a camera by a nest and just let it run and simply leave it alone so it captures images without a person nearby frightening the birds away.
Yes.
Has that been fruitful for you?
Generally speaking, yes, because I'm real discretionary where I use it, first of all. As an example, the Harrier nest was primed for something like that because she was an outstanding mother, devoted, and as soon as I would sneak into the nest, stick the camera into the ground, turn it on, walk back, pop back in my blind, she was back on the nest. And so there, that way it's fruitful, and we've captured scenes with that in itself, where other, I'm talking big-time photographers, filmmakers that I've talked to, one that works for the BBC, that he saw things in that nest shot that he just didn't think happened, as, for instance, the female helping the youngest one into the bowl of the nest to brood. And he just never thought harriers did things like that. And so those kind of things are what generates.
So you're actually helping to increase some of our scientific knowledge.
A little bit of knowledge, certainly. You know, I think I don't think there's the money for people to be able to be out there doing this type of thing, and so filmmaking gives you that opportunity to capture those types of things.
We're down to our last few minutes, so I want you to talk just a little bit about your newest video, Land of the Whitetail, on a subject that's near and dear to the hearts of many people in northern
Wisconsin.
Many
people, and that is why we did it. And it has shown, because there is a lot of interest in it. And Land of the Whitetail was shot in several places, filmed a little bit at the Mead. The Mead, that was probably the least used. The Mead is the least used area in that film. I used a lot of spring scenes outside of the deer that I shot in the Sandhill Wildlife Area was a big one. I filmed
big stands of oak down there.
Big stands of beautiful oaks down in the Sandhills, and, of course, some nice-sized deer. And I shot with ground blinds several occasions. We did a little bit of filming also in Shenandoah National Park out on Virginia. And
you captured a hardcore battle of bucks actually entangling horns. I mean, you got right up on top of it.
Yes. Being a national park, if you can locate whitetails in that park, you'll be able to work your way into them without them being spooked. And that's a real big thing, because around here, normally you get a few minutes here and there if you're lucky, because they're going to spot you or smell you, and everything is now then over. So that way, it really works out great. And I also have to say that I did do some filming within the city limits of Marshfield, believe it or not. I had a private property out there, fella that gave me permission to go in, and I counted over 200 deer one night.
Yeah, you've got deer everywhere.
Yes, and so that worked out, fit right in too, so we were able to put a pretty nice program together.
Tom Meyer, what are the challenges we face in preserving wildlife, like the ones we've managed to preserve at the Mead?
I think today, Glenn, our biggest thing is the human understanding of the value of wildlife in their lives and what it does for the human psyche to have that relationship. Habitat-wise, we have a lot of work to do to maintain what's out there. But the number one thing is keeping people in contact with their heritage and with the land and with nature. And that's the one big thing I'm concerned about.
Are we changing our attitude about these types of areas? Swamps, for instance, more and more, we're calling them wetlands, treasured places, instead of, we were all growing up in the 50s, you know, worthless land that was meant to be drained and later developed.
Their values to the human race and to our survival are becoming more and more noted. But again, what we need to do is make sure that in our schools and in our just our general approach to society that people truly understand how important wetlands and the natural areas are to our survival. And it goes with fish in the Great Lakes. It goes to the whole gamut.
Thank you, Tom Meyer. And thank you very much, Gerard Fear, for being with us today. And thanks to all of you who called in. And again, Wild Journey Films of Auburndale. You can check out Gerard Fear's work at wildjourneyfilms.com. And to find out more about the George W. Meade Wildlife Area, go to meadwildlife.org. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Mary Baldwin. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. And Gary up in Iron County, we're looking for those oatmeal cookies. Check out the Mead when you have a chance. Remember the Prairie Chicken Festival in April. Thanks again for riding with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.